This is the B-side of the lecture, Bosnia and Israel in Prophecy. When we look into the Bible, there are several scriptures that give us prophecies of the end time referring to this very region of Bosnia, believe it or not. When you look into the scripture, back into the very first part, where the nations of the world were finally, where they originated, and were finally sent into areas of the world where they developed and became nations and all of that, I'm talking about Genesis chapter 10, you will find that this area of Europe that we're talking about, the Balkans, were actually settled by a group of people known as the people of Javan. Now, this word Javan is normally associated with Greece, but in actual fact, that's a very limited usage of it. Javan, at the very beginning, and you go back to the chapter 10 of Genesis, Genesis 10, and going on down to verse 4, just let me read that for you. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Now, this is after the flood. The flood covered the world. All life was extinguished on the earth, as we know, that is, that had the breath of air in it. In them, and Noah and his three sons and their wives, they left the ark. And once they left the ark, they began to reproduce. And we find that the three sons of Noah here, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, began to have children. The very first individual that is mentioned was Japheth, who was, by the very meaning of his name, to be the greatest number of people on earth. They were to be enlarged. And this Japheth had several sons, Gomer, Magog, Madai. Now notice the fourth one, Javan. Now the fifth was Tubal, and then Meshech, and then Tyrus. And then it goes on to say that the sons of Gomer, it mentions them, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. And then finally, the sons of Javan are selected. They are distinguished here, amongst others, simply because the later Israelites came in contact with these people who lived in the area of Javan. Now, let me say at the very beginning here, because I have given literature on this before, and if you don't understand this one principle, then you're not going to comprehend what the prophecies are all about. When these patriarchs that we have been, that I have been mentioning here, left the area of Shinar, the region of Babylon, and went out into the world, we find that they went to regions, and there they started to develop their own people. They began to develop, subsequently, nations and all of that. But it doesn't mean that these patriarchs and their descendants stayed in those regions. They stayed in them for a while and then went to other areas and then to other areas and finally around the entirety of this world. Japheth in particular was that way. And we find that his children, though they first of all, many of them went into Europe, and they gave their names, place names, to areas in Europe. It does not mean that these people stayed there. Now, the place named Javan got placed upon the north parts of the Mediterranean, and going from the Balkans even into Italy and southern France, and also into Spain. And some of the descendants here of Javan settled in those areas in particular. But Javan himself, and most particularly the name Javan, got upon the northern section of the Mediterranean area, but not going over the Alps Mountains, and not going over the Transylvanian Alps either, but in that region known as the Balkans, and then into Italy and places like that. Most particularly, we find that Javan was connected with the eastern part of the Mediterranean more than the western part as time went on. I mean the name Javan. The descendants, however, some of them became very prominent in the western part. Tarshish, for example, they were the ones who established Carthage and areas in Spain and things like that. And we all know about the Hannibal and his Carthaginians and people of that nature. But Javan itself, the name, got established to the archipelago, shall we say, of southeastern Europe, and it really includes and as a central part of it, this region known as the Balkans. In later prophecies, we find this name Javan associated with this area and spilling out sometimes into Greece, but mainly in the northern part. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10, 11, and 12 gives a long prophecy. It's the last prophecy that was ever given to Daniel. And these prophecies of Daniel have to do with the end time. Daniel was given a prophecy here that he was unable to interpret for 3 weeks. However, Gabriel came and then finally told him what the interpretation of the prophecy was all about. The interesting thing that Gabriel told Daniel is the fact that this prophecy that is mentioned and given in detail, beginning in chapter 11 and going through chapter 12, the first section of that area of the Bible, that it was a prophecy for the latter days, for the latter days. It says in verse 14 of chapter 10, "Now I am come," Gabriel says, "to make you understand, Daniel, what shall befall your people," now that's Israel, "in the latter days." And the vision is for many days. That means many days in the future. Now the vision was given a little bit later on. It's actually called in verse 21, the scripture or the scroll, the book of truth. And it starts out in chapter 11 in verse 2. And Daniel was told that there would stand up three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be larger, shall be far richer, I should say, than they all, and by his strength through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now you see that word Grecia in the King James Version? In actual fact, it is our word that we've been discussing, Javan. It has far greater expansiveness to it, geographically speaking, and prophetically speaking, than just Greece. However, the reason they concentrated primarily, I mean the translators, on Greece is because they interpreted that prophecy as referring to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was the king of Greece, more particularly the king of Macedonia, which is in northern Greece, in the northern area, and leading up into the southern parts of the Balkans. Well, in actual fact, Alexander could very well have been a type. But I want you to notice something here. This prophecy was for the latter days. Well into the latter days. And though some of the factors that are mentioned here right in the very beginning of this prophecy makes one think of what was happening in the middle of the 5th century B.C., 6th and 5th, and then finally down to the time of Alexander the Great and later, if you'll read this whole prophecy, and for you who do not understand this, I have literature on it, you should send for it. Because this prophecy is for the future. And if Alexander the Great is even mentioned here, if he's even mentioned here, is only in type, something is going to happen in that area of the world called the Balkans, which is going to produce a very powerful person before the end of the age. And we don't have many years left until Christ Jesus is going to be back here on this earth. Now, I'm not setting any dates. God has not given me the ability to set dates exactly. But we can watch and see world events, and we can know the prophecies, how they're beginning to be fulfilled. And obviously we're getting closer to the end time all the time, but not just because of that fact. We can see prophecy now beginning to take place in the Middle East, particularly that will make all of these prophecies in other areas of the world also begin to take effect. There's coming a mighty king. And he shall stand up, he shall rule with great dominion, he shall do according to his will, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided into the four winds of heaven, and to his, not to his posterity, but according to his dominion, nor according to his dominion, which he rule, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And this king that they're talking about is a king of Javan, coming from somewhere up there in this Balkans region. Now, if Alexander, it does figure in here in the first five verses, I'm willing to allow that to be the case. I believe that we have to have an open mind on that. But if that's the case, he is still a type of what is going to set up the end time government, which is going to be in the Middle East leading up to the second coming of Christ. And that end time government starts in verse 5. And the king of the south and the king of the north. It mentions the king of the north here, and it's only one king all the way down to verse 19, and including verse 19. Then there's another king beginning in verse 20, and only one verse. And then the final king that sets up the abomination of desolation in the temple at Jerusalem, which will be rebuilt, starts in verse 21 of this chapter. So what we find in Daniel 11 here is a scenario of the end time. Now, it is possible that the first five verses are a historical prologue to this end time scenario that we see here. But when you read the prophecy as it begins, told by Gabriel, it says that the whole prophecy is for the latter days. We have to have open minds on this. Now, not every single one of us know the prophecies of Daniel yet. In fact, Daniel was not able to interpret his own prophecies. He wanted to know what they were all about. And the angel said, go thy way, Daniel, because at the end, God will then open up a knowledge of the truth. People will go here and there looking for the truth, you know. It's not talking about automobiles and things like that. It means in chapter 12 that they will be going to and fro in this prophecy to be able to find out what it means. And then it says at the very end, as we really get closer, and the closer we get to it, the more this prophecy is going to open up. You and I will begin to understand these prophecies with greater detail in the next few years, just in advance of us. But keep your mind on the area of the Balkans, because out of that region is coming a very important individual who will have something to do with the Middle East as well, and particularly the northern part of the Middle East, Turkey, Iraq, and Iran. Watch it. You're going to see it beginning to take place. We haven't seen anything of the fulfillment of prophecy yet. That, when I say yet, believe me, we're just on the threshold to see the end time prophecies beginning to take place. And that's one of the reasons why God, I feel, is calling you and I at the present time, so that we might be able to tell the people through His Spirit what He has planned. He is the one that's going to do the job, however. We are the ones who should recognize ourselves as His children. We represent the family of God, and we want to tell the rest of the people on earth who they are. They're members of the family of God, too. Do you realize that? But they just do not know it yet. Once they do know, and God opens their minds, their attitudes will be changed. And when their attitudes are changed to be in tune with God and His Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which we find here in the Scripture, you're going to find that peace and harmony is going to come to this earth. And Jesus Christ is going to be the one to develop it in the millennium when He comes with the second advent. Now, the reason I'm bringing out this end-time prophecy of Daniel here is because though it is associated primarily with Israel and the land of the Middle East, it mentions Javan. Do you see it there? It also mentions Persia, which happens to do with Iran. And Iran is going to figure very prominently at the end time here. Believe it or not, a king of Iran is going to emerge, according to the 40th to the 45th chapters of the book of Isaiah, who is going to help Israel rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And you would say, well, that's impossible. Yes, that's right. It is impossible if we just go by human appraisal. But God says that is going to happen. And you know, things in the Middle East can change very dramatically, very quickly. And you're going to live to see even Iran coming into the prophecies of the Middle East and association with Israel. But Israel is also mentioned time and again of things to happen in the next few years, but also Javan. And in prophecies in Zechariah, for example, dealing with this end time, Javan again is mentioned, and that is Bosnian area, going down into Macedonia and places like that. So let's keep our eyes open on these very important regions of the world. And, you know, even the United States. Here we are way over in the Western Hemisphere. But to be able to keep peace, it seems like, in a part of Europe, which you would think that the Europeans themselves could handle without any difficulty, the world has become so small that now we all must cooperate, it seems like. At least that is the philosophy that is being basically taught, to be able to keep the peace in this world. But any of us should know, and I'm telling you for a fact, there's not going to be peace in this world, but amongst any people, and even in your own communities, unless there be a change of attitude of men's minds. There has to be a change, and that is going to happen. God is going to do it. So we find in this end-time prophecy here that there is something great going to come out of the Balkans area. Let's keep our eyes and open there. A great influence. It's also going to be in Persia, then finally in this area, and then we're going to see the final events of the end time, starting in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 5, come to pass exactly as we see them here. However, not one of us understand how that's going to be done precisely yet. Not until we get closer to the time will we be able to see these things blossom forth into a fruition that makes them clear and plain. Now, that's God's prerogative, you see. God hasn't just made His Scriptures absolutely plain to everyone. However, I will say this, even the plain Scriptures, plain and simple Scriptures, years ago when I was in Jerusalem, before I knew that the crucifixion site was on the Mount of Olives, with my study of the Scriptures, on that whole subject for years and years, really, for at least 10 years, 15 almost. I went by the various places on the Mount of Olives, exactly where he was crucified, to now when I read the scripture, it's just so clear and plain, I wonder how in the world couldn't I have seen it before. But even Ernest Martin's mind, you see, was closed so that I couldn't see it. This doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me. There's not anything wrong with my scholarship necessarily either, or yours or any of us. But you see, God is the one. I'm serious about this. He is the one who has to open up the minds so that we can see these things. And that's the way it is in the book of Daniel. But if you want clear prophecies of what is going to happen, all you have to do is to turn to Zechariah, and you've got prophecies here, and I've referred to them time again, which speak about the end time. Just like this prophecy in Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 5 and going all the way through chapter 12, give an exact detailed account of what is going to happen in Jerusalem and in the Middle East, which is going to spill out into other areas of the world. We find the same thing delineated here in Zechariah. The last six chapters of the book of Zechariah deal with our end time. They were written, actually, not by Zechariah. If you will look very carefully in the New Testament, the author of these six chapters here is identified. And that author is identified in Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. It says that it was Jeremiah who actually wrote these prophecies. And they have been attached to the prophecies of Zechariah, which were given some 100 years later or so. But the author is not identified here. However, the New Testament says these are actually prophecies of Jeremiah. Commentators, I'm talking about theologians and people who have studied these things extensively, say and show quite clearly that much of the language that you find here in these last six chapters of Zechariah are language that people would have spoken in the 6th century B.C. And yet Zechariah himself lived in the last part of the 500s. B.C., sometime later, well over 100 years. But why is that important? Simply because Jeremiah is, according to the first chapter of Jeremiah, the axial prophet, a prophet who was to see the old civilizations of the world gone by the wayside, like Babylon and Assyria and Elam and name the others, the old Egypt and so forth. And a new type of civilization was going to be introduced by Jeremiah. And this is where Greece came along, finally, and then Rome and our present civilization that we have today. But these prophecies here were written by the axial prophet who also, Jeremiah, was to be the one who would introduce the new age when the Messiah would be here on earth. That's why these prophecies are very important to be able to understand from that viewpoint. Now, in this Zechariah prophecy here, it actually mentions Javan as having an effect upon the people of Israel. You'll find it in the 9th chapter of the book of Zechariah, and also in verse 13. Now, there again, it mentions Greece. That is an interpretation. It should be Javan. That is limiting it too closely. Javan is far more extensive than that. We're finding in these prophecies here that southeastern Europe is going to have an effect upon Israel and the Middle East pretty soon. One of Javan's sons was called Kittim, the Kittim people. And the Kittim people have been identified with individuals at first stretching across the North Mediterranean, finally settling in Italy and places like that, and in the islands of the Aegean and places adjacent to Greece. Some of these Kittim people, in association no doubt with their father, so to speak, or the area where their father settled, Javan, are going to have a profound effect upon the eastern nations called Asher, Iraq, and parts of Turkey, and even Iran coming up in the future, and even Balaam in his prophecies. The last prophecy that Balaam ever gave in Numbers chapter 24 speaks about the people of the west coming against the people of the east, Kittim against Asher. And that even Hebrews or the Jews would be brought up in it. Those prophecies of Balaam mentioned in the last of his prophetic sequence have never yet happened in history. We find here in Zechariah 9 this prophecy here about Javan in association with Israel and how the two are going to be in confrontation, and yet a limited peace is coming before the final Holocaust takes place, so to speak. We find that they are all in actors upon the stage of prophecy here. And like I say, chapters 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 of Zechariah all have to do with the end time. Chapter 14 in particular is most important because it starts out by saying that Yahweh himself is coming back and is going to be in the person of Christ Jesus. His feet will touch on the Mount of Olives, and then that Mount of Olives is going to split in two. Now, right down the middle of the Mount of Olives to this very day, if you get up on the Temple Mount, up where the Dome of the Rock is at the present time, and walk over to the wall to the east and look at this panoramic view that you can see of the Mount of Olives, you will see right down the middle of the Mount of Olives on the southern extension, there is some kind of a fault line, and that may be the very region that splits in two when Christ Jesus comes back. Now, because that hasn't happened yet, you see, we can know then that the prophecies of chapter 14 of Zechariah have not been fulfilled yet. Now, all you have to do, as common sense will show you, is to go back to chapter 13 and get the prophecies leading up to that event. And then you can go back to chapter 12 and see the prophecies leading up to 13. And you will find that chapters 12, 13, and 14 are one long prophecy. But they are illustrated also in chapters 9, 10, and 11. All six of those chapters there have to do with events in the last generation before the second coming of Christ back to this earth. And what it says here is this, that there's going to come a time when people are going to change their minds. And you know where the changing of the mind, the repentance is going to come? It's going to come first out of Palestine. It's going to come out of Jerusalem. Here it is in Zechariah chapter 12. I've referred to this many times, but you know you need to mark these in your scripture and read them. You know, every week you ought to read chapter 12 and 13 of the book of Zechariah, because it's so clear what is going to happen just prior to the second coming of Christ. And keep your minds also on what's happening in Jerusalem and areas like that in relation to these prophecies. Verse 10, chapter 12, Zechariah. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all of them there, all inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his own firstborn. This one who is pierced, according to the New Testament, is Jesus Christ. Clearly it is. The Jews and the inhabitants of Jerusalem are going to understand who Jesus Christ is. They're going to have a change of attitude. And you know, they're not going to trot over to Rome and have a change of attitude toward Rome. They're not going to trot to Athens or Constantinople or Istanbul and have a change of attitude toward that. They're not going to go to Los Angeles or New York or London and find out what the Christians are doing there and have a change of attitude toward that. No. They're going to look at what's happening around them, and they're going to have a change of attitude to what they see in their midst. And they're going to be ashamed of what they see in their midst. And chapter 13, forget all about that, that chapter 13 there. That's just man put that in there. It goes on to say, in the day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and to the inhabitants for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And the false prophets and the unclean spirit are passing out of the land. And so severe will it be that even a mother and a father who finds even their own son teaching things that are wrong, they're going to put him aside. There's going to be a change of attitude. It's going to happen in Jerusalem just prior to the second coming of Christ. It's going to reach out, though, into Bosnia and places like that. Do you know that people are going to start having a change of mind? Because they're going to say that all of these religions on earth are wrong. All of them are. Do you realize that the Muslims themselves at this present time are idolaters? Why, they concentrate around the Kaaba in Mecca, which is an old meteorite stone that the Arabs had there, and I can absolutely prove it, long before Muhammad ever came on earth. They are nascent idolaters. And what about the Christians? Why, they've got pictures of Jesus up all over the place and idols and things of that nature. All of them are going to see pretty soon that those things are wrong. And when they have a common religious belief, then you know, they're going to say, since we're all wrong, maybe we ought to put down our swords and start thinking about how to do right. And you know, just before the second coming of Christ, that's what the world is going to do. Now, that's only temporary, because if you'll read chapters 11 of Zechariah and also the end of chapter 13, there's going to be, after that time of peace, it's not going to last very long, but there's going to be a renewed civil war, and it's going to be over this whole matter of who Jesus Christ is. Get the context of it, and then Christ will come back. You know what we're doing right now? We are seeing what we're doing in Europe, what we're doing in the Middle East, what we're seeing happening there, is that the stage is being set for these events in Zechariah and in Daniel to take place. Civil war is not over yet, but people are going to be able to see pretty soon that all of their religions that they have been believing, including their father's religion and great-grandfather's religion and all the way back, are basically wrong. And God is the one who is going to open up the minds for people to see that. And when they begin to see that, they're going to step back and say, you know, if we're wrong on these major points, maybe we're wrong on the society principles that we have that have caused us to be so different from one another that we want to fight each other all the time. Let me tell you this. We're coming into a time of temporary peace. It won't last until the second coming of Christ. That's true. Civil war is still on the line, both in Bosnia and in the Middle East. But before that time comes, there's going to be a respite period. The world is soon coming into a respite period, and that is a time to get out the gospel of Christ to the world. That is the reason, the principal reason for it. And then the world comes in finally, once more, to war, and then Christ comes back to put down war for the next 1,000 years. It's all here in the Scripture. What we need to do is to realize that this Bible is true. And pretty soon the whole world's going to be able to understand that this Bible is true. Keep your eyes open to Bosnia and also Jerusalem, because in those areas will develop the prophetic teachings of this word to make it true. Christ Jesus says that's a fact. This concludes the B section of the lecture, Bosnia and Israel in Prophecy.